Hello, and welcome to the Further Podcast, where we explore the far reaches of the human experience, from missions to Mars, to skydiving, to blowing one's mind with psychoactive substances. These conversations offer insight into how these extreme experiences showcase the human spirit, and just might teach us how to live our everyday lives a bit better. I'm your host, Haley Maria Duran, and I study the effects of psychedelics and other out there experiences on people's minds and brains. So this person is possibly one of the people pursuing the most extreme goal, I would say, that we've had on this show. Rhea is planning a 20,000 kilometer run from the edge of Russia all the way to Lisbon, Portugal. She hasn't completed it yet, but it's part of her larger story about becoming an ultra marathon runner. She just ran the fastest known time on the Camino Trail in Spain and has ran various ultra marathons around the world. And her story is just incredible. She discusses a bit about what endurance actually is, which I think it's valuable to learn from somebody who has had the grit to run multiple days in a row, you know, 50, 60 kilometers back to back. And I think that even if you are not, you never see yourself as running an ultra run, that this interview really kind of gets into how to get through difficult things and how to have grit and perseverance and the importance of finding your why and thinking about the bigger picture of what you're running towards with your goals, even if they aren't running per se. And it's also cool we learn a little bit about the cultural aspect of running through places all over the world. He talks about running in Egypt and running in Kenya, throughout Europe. She's actually from China. So I really enjoyed this conversation with Rhea, and thanks for tuning in. I'm really excited to interview her when she finishes this grand journey, which is supposed to happen. She's supposed to start her run from the edge of Russia next June and finish in Lisbon in 2027. So we'll have to wait a while, but yeah, here is Rhea. All right, so we are here with Rhea, and she is a bit of a different guest than the sorts of people I typically have on the podcast, but she definitely is familiar with some extreme experiences and extreme adventures. She is an ultra runner, and she just ran the fastest known time on the Camino in Spain and is planning a much more ambitious run that I've never heard anybody running quite this far, running all the way from Portugal to like Russia, I believe, like the end of Russia, something like that, right?
From the east to the west.
Okay. Wow. So why are you inspired to do this? Like, this is just so chaotic to me. Like, how did this fascination with ultra running start?
Yeah, that's kind of a multi-layered story. It all started with a breakup and just feeling really terrible. And I was also going through like quarter life crisis. And so it was really just like running was a way for me to get out of that black hole of mental health issues, and just like, yeah, I had depression before, and so a lot of the life issues and like mental health issue kind of compounded together in that moment last year around like August. And so I got into running because like I start running every day for 30 days straight as a way to get out of that situation. And ultra running kind of just started from that, like that experience of running 30 days every single day, like changed something inside and made me realize that this thing is like more powerful than I expected. That the fact that movement can affect our well-being in such a drastic way and in such a way that I did not expect. I kind of just, yeah, want to keep doing it and want to see where this can take me. You know, it's kind of like there's a curiosity around that. Like if I can change my mental health in like 30 days, then like, you know, who knows where this is going to take if I just keep going further and further. And so, yeah, and I was in Chamonix in France last year around August time. And that's when the UTMB is happening. I had no idea what it was. And it's so, for those who don't know, it's the biggest and most prestigious kind of trail ultra race in Europe, and possibly one of the most important ones in the world. And you know, being there at that time was just seeing like so many elites and so many like crazy people going running for days in the mountain in the Alps, and then coming back, barely slept, and like finishing that race like in good spirit. And I was just like, this can't be real. They haven't like got like ran for like 3 days out in the mountain, but they did. And so for me, seeing was like, wow, like people are capable of doing that, and I'm a human, so maybe like I can, but like it just I can't remember, I can't imagine how that could, how I could even get there. But there's like a seed that was like dropped inside of me. Oh, maybe like I can do this. So yeah, I didn't go straight into running ultras. Like the most I've ran at that point was like a half marathon. And I was in Egypt after Chamonix, and a friend of mine has done some like mountain and running, like endurance running training. And I was like, you know, I saw this trail called the Sinai Trail in Egypt. It's like the first long distance hiking trail in Egypt. And I was like, oh, it'd be really cool to like do it as part of this like continuous journey of recovery from like this depression and like mental health issue. And I was like, huh, I just saw some crazy runners. Like, what if I can like run this thing? I was like, oh no, that can't be, like that's not possible. Like maybe if I train for it, maybe like in 5 years I can do it. And I like mentioned this idea to the friend, and they're just like, oh yeah, I think you can do it. Like, I think you can do it like in 3 months. I'm like, what? So it really took like them having confidence in me to like, you know, they've done training before. So for me, it's like kind of having this person that has gone further to like have confidence in my ability. It's like, oh, that's like a new way of looking at things. So yeah, I give it a shot, and then surprisingly, in 3 months, I ran my first ultra marathon, and it was 550 kilometers in the Sinai Desert. So that's kind of my way into ultra running, and after that, combined with a ayahuasca ceremony, actually, it kind of gave me a lot of clarity on where I want to take this and where what life means to me after this whole journey. And the idea of running something really, really big, like no one has ever done before, and something I don't think is possible but have a strong interest in, came to my mind. And that was originally, it was supposed to be running the Silk Road, because as I was born in China, I'm Chinese, and Silk Road has like a significant historical meaning to me, for as someone who like was born in the East and like moved to the West. And so this idea of like the East-West connection was very much present. And then I looked it up, was like, oh, Silk Road is not like one road, like it's not like one trail that you can just follow, web of road. I was like, oh, okay, well, still, like this idea of like the East to the West was very important to me. So yeah, I then like I listened to Russ Cook, his audiobook. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's the guy that ran the entire length of Africa from South Africa to, I think it was Algeria. And I listened to his audiobook when I was running in Egypt in the Sahara Desert. And so what inspired me the most about his experience is, like, first, he like ran an entire continent. That's dope. And second, he like started doing it. He set off like on this run without having everything planned out, like kind of just like, okay, let's send it. And so for me, that was like very, oh, like he got a continent. What if I get two? What if I do both Asia and Europe? And so that's where like that idea came from. And then I looked it up. It's like, yeah, you can go. There's like roads all the way from like pretty much far east in Siberia to Portugal. So yeah, that's where the idea came from.
That is just incredible that you went from really struggling and deciding to do something that I think is a relatively like normal fitness goal, like, oh, I'm gonna run every day for 30 days, and that somehow catalyzed like a movement almost. Like you're like, I'm gonna run the whole two continents and I'm gonna like learn about these different cultures and everything. And it's incredible. When you're running these distances, I imagine that there's a huge psychological element to it. How has your mindset towards like endurance and persevering changed throughout this process of becoming an ultra runner?
Yeah, that's a really insightful question. Yeah, endurance is like, and I listened to this audiobook when I was running in Egypt in the Sahara Desert. And so what inspired me the most about his experience is like, first, he like ran an entire continent. That's dope. And second, he like started doing it. He set off like on this run without having everything planned out, like kind of just like, okay, let's send it. And so for me, that was like very inspirational. So I was like, oh, like he got a continent. What if I get two? What if I do both Asia and Europe? And so that's where like that idea came from. And then I looked it up. It's like, yeah, you can go. There's like roads all the way from like pretty much Far East in Siberia to Portugal. So yeah, that's where the idea came from.
That is just incredible that you went from really struggling and deciding to do something that I think is a relatively like normal fitness goal, like, oh, I'm gonna run every day for 30 days, and that somehow catalyzed like a movement almost. Like, you're like, I'm gonna run the whole two continents and I'm gonna like learn about these different cultures and everything. And it's incredible. When you're running these distances, I imagine that there's a huge psychological element to it. How has your mindset towards like endurance and persevering changed throughout this process of becoming an ultra runner?
Yeah, that's a really insightful question. Yeah, endurance is, my understanding of it has changed a lot. I think in the beginning, going from just like the normal fitness goal, like you said, it's like, okay, if I go out for a run, I keep pushing for like maybe 31 hour at most. And then, I feel pretty good about myself and I kind of like jog things up a little bit. And it's like, oh, I like did something that was like painful. And it's kind of like exercising that part of muscle of like discipline and willpower. And it feels good. But yeah, on the ultra marathon, and especially like a multi-stage marathon, it really showed me different facet of what endurance is and means. It's not just it made me realize how cute and adorable like I felt that I was doing endurance, like the fact that I was doing endurance if I'm just going out for like a 30-minute 1 hour run. It just showed me that there's like a huge area that is untouched and unvisited by going longer and further than I've ever been. So, yeah, I guess one part of it is that I realized that endurance is like kind of a, similar to meditation in a sense. Like I really interested in meditation, and I realized that when you're running, like it's not just about like commanding your body to keep going forward. It's like it's going into this mind state where you're allowing things to happen and that you might not even be in the driver's seat. And there's more of a feeling of like giving in. And the more you're able to do that, the more you're able to actually endure and to keep pushing further. But yeah, I think that's like one of the main like realizations I've had on endurance. I don't know if you want to dig deeper into like different aspects of endurance, like the physical or like the mental.
Both would be helpful.
Yeah, I guess on the physical side, like it's yeah, like it's really incredible to see what can be done by just doing like long, slow distances and like zone two, zone one training. And there's like, I didn't realize this when I first started off, but there is real like biological transformations that happen when you're training for endurance. Like your body is gaining, for example, more like mitochondrial density, and your body is like building your slow twitch fiber to be more efficient. And so like in a sense, like gaining superpower, right? Like having endurance is gaining superpower. But it's also cool to realize that like There's a book called Born to Run, which does like a pretty pop science like version of this, which is like humans are built to be endurance distance runners. And so there's that interesting aspect of our body is the way it is because in the history of evolution, we adapted to fit the need of running and long distance running to be like this. So like actually human is probably the best endurance running animal in the entire animal kingdom. And we can like run the longest and maybe not the fastest, definitely not the fastest, but we can keep running for the longest because of our ability to sweat, our skeleton, and like our different tendons that make it especially efficient for us to run long distance. That was also really interesting to learn and to like almost embodying this being of like learning my true nature through going through endurance running. So that's pretty interesting.
Still, I imagine, like, even as you're noticing your body adapting, it's gotta suck sometimes. Can't be doing multi-day like runs and not having it suck. How do you cope with that? How do you keep going?
Yeah, it definitely sucks. And there's many times during these multi-day endurance runs where I'm like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And somehow I'm still going. And like, I don't know how I can finish, but I guess I'll try. Yeah, there's really this, what it feels like is like you have like the worst night ever in your entire life. You didn't rest well and you wake up and like everything hurts, like every single joint is like, we're not moving today, and your muscle is like feel like it's got like grinded through like meat grinder and attached to you, and somehow you stand up, you're like, wow, I can't walk, and you get to the bathroom, you brush your teeth, all that stuff, you're like, oh, I have to run 65 kilometers today. And you put on your shoes, and somehow actually like putting on your shoes is like walking with the shoes is like somehow easier than walking barefoot because probably the body is so used to like that motion of being inside the shoes. So like after I put on my shoes, it's like, oh, like now this feels better. And I remember what I'm meant to do. And but still it doesn't feel like a really a fun
Wow.
thing to like I have no basically no motivation to like go out and run 65 kilometers, but I go out of the door, I have some breakfast, and I start running, and like this repeats like every single day for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks. That's like the what it feels like in the best way I can describe it. Yeah, and then so there's one element of like being able to keep going, which is always thinking about what is the immediate next step. So like if in one of these scenarios which I just described, and I get up and I'm like, oh, I have 400 kilometers left to go, and I really don't think I'd be able to be motivated enough to do that, to go out the door and just run the stage I need to run for that day. But if I'm just thinking about, okay, I need to put on my shoes, I need to get out of the door, I need to eat breakfast, I'm gonna go my first 10, 20, 30 kilometers. And that somehow makes it a lot easier and a lot more manageable. So, yeah. And then there's the aspect of being able to find your why. And this is like talked about in a lot of by a lot of ultra marathon runners. And it's definitely very important. And I don't know even if I'm like really good at it of knowing what the why is. A lot of time because when you're running an ultra marathon, like you're not like the most pleasant or smart or coherent person. Like even after eating, you're just like not very lucid. And so like sometimes it's really hard to figure out what the why is, like and feel into, like even though you have it all set up before you started running, it's kind of just like difficult to get in touch with that why that you set out to have. So yeah, it's a constant battle of trying to remember what that is and the feeling into it and letting that propel me forward.
Yeah, I mean, you must be running towards something. I feel like if you just keep doing this for so long, like there must be some kind of like meaning that you're hoping to get out of it. And it sounds like initially maybe you were kind of running away from like a quarter life crisis and like depression and stuff like that. But at this point, like, I don't know what exactly you're running for. It's very big, whatever it is.
Yeah, I think it's a continuous journey of like developing what that is. And it's an evolution of why. Where, yeah, initially it was definitely like a running away from a version of myself that I dreaded. And I think as I continued on this journey, I realized there's like a lot of power in me doing this in okay, how do I put this? It's like almost like a monk, you know, like why monks exist. Like, not everybody needs to be a monk in this world, but they do exist. And I think to serve as a reminder to people that there's this other way of living and there's another narrative to our life that we can follow than just the traditional one, the one that we're given, the one that we like default to. And so like I think that's the same for me. Like part of my journey is to discover where I can go and you know what I can become at the end of this. But another part is like it's like writing a story to me. It's like writing a story for myself, but also writing a story that I think needs to happen in this world. It's a story of hope, I think, and of like it's really incredible to see as I share my stories on social media that people really resonate with this, you know, they call it usage of free will. And yeah, I think that's kind of my a lot of re lot of like moments during a really difficult run. I'm like, I remind myself like this is not just for me, it's for like our greater collective experience. And you know, during an ultra marathon, a why that is bigger than yourself usually works a lot better than a why that is solely for like personal reasons. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now with this evolution of why.
That's very philosophical to think about. It's so much more than just putting one foot in front of another, and yet at the same time, it is that just simple incremental steps that you keep doing over and over. And I think what's so interesting about your story is it's so extreme, yet I think it really encourages people to go out there and maybe be a bit more bold with what their goals and dreams are. Like one thing that I saw that you said was it's only delusional until it's not. And I feel like that approach is kind of embodying this whole project. Prior to getting into ultra running, were you an especially gritty like person? Like, did you just pursue things really hardcore? Like, or was there something about running especially that brought this out?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, prior to this whole journey, like I actually felt like a failure in life. And that's part of that quarter life crisis. I feel like I read about this later after I start running, but like the idea of like learned helplessness, I feel like that kind of defined my entire psyche, like from childhood to like 20, 25, 26. Like even though I was like working in tech, I was working in this industry that I feel like I always wanted to work in, and living in LA, like, but there's always this sense of like, I can't live my own life. I have to live a life that like is prescribed or something that is out of my control. And it feels very depressing to be living in that state. But I just like somehow can't get it in myself to be like, I can do what I set my mind to. I can succeed in the things that I want to succeed in. So that was like who I was just even like last year. Basically feeling like my entire life has been a failure and I don't have control of the direction of where I can go on this journey of life. And like I've only lived a life that is prescribed by an external expectation and goal. And basically story that has been given to me by the society. And that feels really depressing, and that felt very frustrating that like there's no choices that I can make. There's no way that I can become the person that I dream to be. And I kind of suppress that version of me almost. And yeah, that is not a good feeling. I can tell you that. But it's really cool to see how in the last year of ultra marathon training, I was able to change that about myself. Like I basically went from someone who like had no belief in my own ability, had no self-confidence, had basically really, really low self-worth, to someone who like has seen myself again and again push for something that's impossible, and someone who's like maybe didn't see how to get from like a place of a beginner to like someone who actually is accomplishing, you know, world level accomplishments in a field in like a very little time. And like what is and seeing that I can go from not knowing how to do that to doing that basically, and trusting that I have the skill and an ability to figure that out, and to have the discipline to train and to push myself, the motivation to push myself to do that. And that is really revealing, and it's really cool to see how far I've gone, because I cannot recognize a person, even from like a little over a year ago. Like I've literally changed so much. Yeah, and that's I think that's like the beauty of ultra running, and why a lot of people also are like more and more people are getting into the sport, is for that personal transformation, and to see like, wow, if you like really feel good about yourself already and you get into ultra running, like imagine how far you can go, you know, like who you can become.
Very cool. It just, there's so many lessons I think to take away from this, even if you aren't going to go, you know, run the whole Camino or run across two continents, about just having like the will to create the life that you want. And maybe like people just need to aim higher and just see what happens almost. Like that's one of the core things I'm hearing from your story. Another interesting thing though is that on these runs, you're interacting with all these different like cultures. You're from China, you've ran all over Europe, Egypt. How do you like, I don't know, like what are some interesting experiences you've had in relation to being in all these different cultures while running?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of my runs actually. Like it's this, like intention of cultural exploration. And like part of this like Asia to Europe run, the 20,000 kilometer run, is actually, you know, cultivating this empathy across culture, which like we don't see as much nowadays. Like we see a lot of like despair and like falling apart and people like becoming more distant with each other. And I think there's needs to be like more narrative of like cultural empathy and cohesion across borders. But yeah, like it was really interesting, like especially in Egypt on the Sinai Trail. I was running with the help of the Bedouins that live in their basically native homeland in the Sinai Peninsula. And it was really cool to see their culture and to experience like what their ancestors like have been doing for, I don't know, thousands of years. And like, for example, one of the nights, like we camped in this like little cave in the middle of the open desert. And it's kind of just like a Bedouin spot, like a known camping spot for the locals. And like, who knows how many generations have like slept in that exact little cave that I've slept. You know, it's really insane to feel that like passing of time in the run that I'm doing also. And like being able to see some of the, like, you know, eat food with them and like experience their like cuisine, like how they live and how they treat almost like treat time in a different way than us. And like they're just very like relaxed and very not goal oriented, which is like I was not used to. But it was really interesting to like understand them and their perspective on life. And yeah, that was really cool. And then also like running in other different countries, like I was in Kenya to train for a little bit, like. And it's actually like where the top like elite, a lot of top elite runners came from, like Olympic level elites. And that was really cool to see like how they train and how dedicated they are. Although like running for them is more like a job, like a profession than a hobby, like for most of us, because you know it's like something that get them out of their present situation and help them like earn money basically. So that was really interesting to see. But also, yeah, obviously, like the Camino is a completely different story where there's a lot of people that goes to Camino for that transformation, for that personal, like, spiritual connection. And that is another cool, like, experience to have. And for me, it was very special. And, you know, I, like, started a lot of these runs, like the Via Francigena in Italy and the Camino, kind of, like, believing, okay, I'm going to set the speed record. I'm going to, like, you know, be an ultra runner. But then, like, at the end of it, I came out a pilgrim, like everybody else. You know, it's even, I'm running, even though I'm not walking, I feel like it, the same kind of community and the same spirit got to me as well. So yeah, there's definitely a very interesting experience that can be had in running in these different countries and cultures. So yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, it's, I just imagine that going all the way, like, just through both continents, you're going to have your perspective shift even more. So it will be quite cool to follow up in when you're done with the two continent journey and see how your view has changed. If somebody wanted to start ultra running, maybe not across two continents or the whole Camino, what's a good way to go about that?
Yeah, I think first is to realize that, like, ultra running is actually really accessible to everyone. Like, every, like, healthy individual should be able to run 50 kilometers. I don't think that's a problem. And to know that that's possible, and to start with understanding, like, heart zone training, like, understanding what is zone one, zone two, and what that means for you specifically. It's nice to have, like, a heart rate monitor or, like, a watch to tell you that, but if you don't, I think, like, just sticking with, like, knowing what conversational pace means, and like, being able to maintain that, instead of, like, a lot of people go out and running and like, they go really hard without even realizing that they're going really hard because they don't know how to, like, run slowly. And so that's a big, like, first lesson in how to train for ultra running. And so basically realizing that 80% of the training should be these kind of slow conversational pace distances. And that's actually what's triggering the physiological changes that I mentioned earlier the most. And the 20% during interval training, and also, like, adding in strength training, which is, like, a very crucial factor of preventing injury. Like, the biggest obstacle in ultra running training is injury. So if you keep up the strength training, you really lower the risk of that. So yeah, and also, like, a big part of, you know, continuing your training or having motivation for it for beginners is just signing up for a race, like having a goal, having something to look forward to at the end, or, like, so you know how to schedule things, plan out your training with a date and set distance in mind. And it doesn't have to be a race. Like, for me, it was, like, a personal project running 550 kilometers. And, you know, because I also, like, was doing, like, fundraising as part of it, really gave me that, like, extra boost of, like, motivation to train hard and, like, make it happen, even despite the doubt that I had about my own ability. So yeah, and finding friends and people that are having the same goal and, like, training, having that accountability is also really helpful. I didn't have any. I initially had a friend that, like, helped me out with, like, the training advice, but I didn't have any towards the end, and that feel like a little isolating. So if you can manage to find people to kind of really go along this journey together, it could be very, make it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it reminds me of how on the Camino you had a shell that had the names of everybody who had supported you, and it just shows, like, community is really valuable.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like I said before, you know, the big part of the why, that the why that makes the most powerful why is not something that just lives within ourselves, but something that involves other people and, like, our outside world and our community as well. And yeah, like, it's really interesting how, like, running is such a lonely sport almost, because you're like your worst enemy, and your fiercest competitor is yourself, really. And you're, like, out on the trail, like, for hours a day, you know, without really engaging with people. But it's actually, like, a very strongly, like, communal sport in that sense, that, like, you're really depending on each other, even though not being right there to, like, help you push through the most difficult part. Yeah, and, you know, also, like, part of my Camino FKT, like, the previous FKT holders, like, all helped out in the kindest way to support me on my journey. And, like, even though it's kind of like, oh, you know, you're leaving your record only, that, like, kind of is a bummer. But, like, they had no problem with, like, helping me with, like, answering all the questions that I have about the trail. They want me to succeed, you know, that's, like, really touching and really meaningful. And if someone, like, comes, like, you know, next week, like wanting to break my record and be like, hell yeah, that's awesome. Like, get like, here are all my tips, you know, like it's kind of this like passing along and yeah, encouraging each other to be the best version of ourselves. That's really beautiful about this sport of ultra running.
And to have fun with it too. I saw that you also run sometimes in a dino suit for whatever reason.
Yeah, you know, really, yeah, when it's hard to get out there, like you gotta find some way to like motivate yourself, and that was a really good like kind of a spontaneous moment of just putting on the suit and like see what happens. Something I also do is like to find really good food places around and like be like, oh, there's this ice cream place that I really want to go. Okay, I'll run there. And then, like, so I get that treat in the middle of my run. Right now I'm in Portugal and I'm a big fan of pastel de nata, the egg tarts they have here. And so for me, it's like, oh, I can go get egg tarts, like around and try out the best egg tarts in town. Like, that's also like a good motivation. it's very important to like find these like little games to keep yourself from like burning out on these runs. You also mentioned you're training for ultra marathon. What's your training regime and goal for that?
So I aspire to eventually do an ultra marathon. I need to find a specific one to do. Last year I did, or actually it was this year earlier, I did a marathon and I'd been wanting to do one for a while. And basically, like, I finally got up the urge to, like, actually commit and to, like, sign up because, like, my dad had passed away and I had, like, a whole, like, existential crisis being, like, I need to go out and live and blah, blah, blah. And that's how I ended up abroad, too, from the U.S. So, yeah, I was, like, and what I really loved about marathon training, which is a lot more doable than ultra running, is that it would kind of give me a like structure of something to do that was like discipline, that wasn't work. And I was like also finishing like my dissertation at the same time. So I needed to be going and doing something else. And I really enjoyed kind of the flow state I would get into too with running. We haven't really talked about that, but it is just, I don't know, it's special. I would like listen to audiobooks and run and just, it was fantastic. But I'm hoping to find an ultra run to do that's not 500 kilometers or whatever in Europe. That's something that I could actually like train for while having a job here. So you know what? I can definitely commit to doing a 50 kilometer run. So yeah, we'll figure it out.
If you're already done a marathon, like that's very accessible. It's only 8 kilometers more. That's like, you know, fair change.
Yeah. So, I mean, now that I've said this in the podcast, I suppose I have to do it, right?
That's a great way to get accountability.
Yeah, okay, yes. I don't know how long I'll need to train exactly.
Where are you running?
Where and when should I do it? You tell me.
Ooh, you can. I mean, are you actively training right now?
Not really, but I'm running consistently.
What's your volume weekly?
Oh gosh, I don't know off the top of my head. I just run when I feel like.
Okay.
So
that's
good.
Yeah, you could do it this weekend.
No. Oh, okay. Let's say that by next April, by April 2026, I am going to run an ultra. We're not sure the exact version of it, but something. Even if it's running on the road in Sweden, like, because there's all these bike paths and whatnot. So yeah, I'll figure it out.
There's some really good trails in Sweden. There's the Sweden, the Kungsleden.
Yes.
I wanted to do that one running, actually. That would be, like, really fun to do. But there's also, I think Stockholm has this, like, archipelago trail thing. That looked really fun also. Yeah, there's, like, many options for you, like, out there in Sweden. But if you want to do, like, a 50-kilometer run, again, like, it's very accessible. Like, it doesn't mean, like, you're pounding, you know, the pavement the whole way. Like, you can, like, walk. You can take breaks. You can go to a restaurant and get some food. It just takes like a whole day of like effort, but it's very doable. Yeah. And if you want to like someone to run with you, just come out to Lisbon, to Portugal, and I'll do a 50 kilometer with you.
Oh gosh. And you'll be like, this is an easy day for me, a rest day.
It'll be my long run day of the week, but yeah, it's
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's plan on this. This is gonna happen. All
yeah.
right. So stay tuned, listeners, and you can hear me freak out and complain and be in pain during the ultra run.
I just had
It'll
a
be fun,
friend.
though.
Yeah, it's very do it's like more doable than people imagine. I just did a almost like a 90-kilometer run with a friend a few days ago, and like they haven't ran for like a long time, and like it's just people don't realize how easy it is to like do long distance running, like especially when you make it fun. So
Okay, we'll
I'll
make
do
it
it.
fine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll wear something nuts for sure. Just the dino suit has inspired
Yeah,
me,
maybe we can
so.
both wear dinosaur suit and then run a 50-kilometer somewhere in Portugal. That'll be fun.
Yes, okay. Alrighty. Well, thank you so much for talking to me, and it'll be cool to see what your story is like after you've ran two continents. So,
Yeah, let's stay in touch and hopefully I can give an update of to the audience after the big journey.
all right, fantastic.